It's a long, winding road, that's for sure. Got a phone call from Brad Richardson. He's the superintendent at the Fitzmaurice home in Hot Springs. And he remembered me from college and high school. He's a year younger than me. And he said, hey, do you still do that bronze stuff? And I said, yeah, I kind of dabble in it a little bit. And he said, well, would you like to compete for this memorial monument we'd like to have done? I said, well, sure. What's the subject matter? Who? And he explained everything to me. And I was a little intimidated because I've never sculpted anyone who's still alive. And Mike put it well, you know, I'm still alive and here's all this stuff. And for the most part, people can either improve or really trash their legacy while they're still alive. So I tend to shy away from living subjects. But it seems like when I heard this story, no matter what Mike did with the rest of his life, I think he had hit the top of the mountain, so to speak, that anybody could reach. And he was kind of beyond tarnishing. He's an American hero. So I said yes after thinking about it a little bit. And then he asked, well, would you like to pick your competition? And I said, well, oh, shoot, now what do I do? Do I go after some sloughs I can really clean up the floor with, or do I go after the really good guys? And I recommended the best, Dale Lamphere. Everybody knows his work.
Right.
So I selected him as a competitor, and I selected Jim Maher, who was a great sculptor of the Rapid City pieces. He's known as the face man out there, just excellent. So I thought, you know, these two guys are such good guys. If I lose to them, I won't be crushed. So that was my main intent.
And the job will be done in the way that it should be done.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. So it was kind of a scary honor, or just an odd honor, to be selected to choose my own competitors, but it went well. In the end, I was the only person who submitted the model with Mike's characteristics, because we got a chance to talk with Mike before we finished our scale models. All of us did. And I went after the real particular things that Mike would do. Like, he would scrounge canteen covers. If anybody was out on medevac or had been restationed and they left any equipment behind, Mike went after the canteens and covers because ammunition clips. The two things he didn't want to run out of were water and ammunition.
Right.
So he had his gear and his belt lined with 7 canteen covers, either extra water or extra ammunition crammed in there.
A canteen cover is like a pouch. Like a fabric pouch with some clips on the back that you clip it on your duty belt. So not only can you put your canteen in there for your water, but you can pretty much put anything in there that you wanted to carry.
You can put in almost twice as many ammunition clips versus a clip container. So he really loaded up on that. So I put that in the sculpture. I included how he carried his rifle. I included how he wore his equipment from snapshots. That was just an incredible experience. I was allowed to go out and visit Mike and Patty for a couple, 3 hours. It just took off and we shot the bull. And Mike gave me digital images of snapshots from his days in Vietnam. They still give me chills.
Right.
So I worked from images and snapshots and his descriptions, and I put together a model as close to the Mike Fitzmaurice of an 18-year-old Mike, and it won. It was just euphoric, because the more I had gotten to know Mike, the more I had fallen in love with the project, and I knew I just had to do this. So I did wind up winning, and we went to work on it almost right away. We finished it in almost record time because it was just a done deal. We needed it by dedication time for the veterans' home. So it was off and running right away.
And that day, you were still working on it in some ways. What were you doing that day? I remember walking by and you had some tools out and you were still sort of, you know, tending to the statue itself. Do you recall what you were doing?
Oh, on the dedication day?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There were just little areas of the bronze that hadn't been polished. See, we put the patina on, then seal it with a really good, strong lacquer coating, and then we coat it with wax, like waxing your car. And some of the wax hadn't been buffed off properly. There was a little bit of grime down on the feet where the concrete epoxy mixture to anchor the sculpture into the base kind of got up on the bronze. So I'm just doing fussy stuff until it was time to unveil.
How long does something like that stand? How long does it last for generations?
2,000 years.
No big deal.
Yeah.
When we talk about the legacy of Vietnam in South Dakota, we talk about the legacy of people like Mike Fitzmaurice. What comes to mind for you after getting to know him and spending time really creating down to the details of the individual way in which he schlepped his gear? What do you think the legacy and the state is of that war and people like Mike coming home?
Probably, at first blush, just bumping into Mike, he's just a regular guy. You'd never think that he had earned the Medal of Honor or been awarded the Medal of Honor, because he impresses all the time. You don't earn it. It's not given. It is awarded. And it's received, it's not won. So there's a whole concept of humility around the medal that was something that I still struggle to be able to understand completely. But with Mike, the perception is good old South Dakota guy, regular salt of the earth type person, and this is the type of person that was called to action in so many conflicts. And the heroic things come out of these people because deep down inside, it's there. And it's there in many people. And Mike explains this over and over. There are many people who did heroic things, even more striking than Mike. So the medal is worn in honor of those people as well as the people who didn't come home. So the medal just means so much.
I'm only going to give you about a minute and a half to answer this next question. It's a whopper. You mentioned Dale Lamphere. I think of your work in the state, throughout the state. What do sculptors really leave behind for a legacy of art in the state? And how do you approach the responsibility of that?
Most of us tend to sculpt for the top 5% of viewers who are the ultra critical. We want to make sure the work is substantial, can stand up to, you know, the toughest criticism, because only the best should be allowed for most of the subjects done in this state. The social issues, figures, Dale Lamphere's wonderful monument in Chamberlain, they had to be the best. And it's a real hard-nosed attitude that most sculptors have. These pieces deserve the best, and they have to get it.
Darwin Wolf is a sculptor. What are you working on right now?
There are actually several pieces. There's a very somewhat unannounced piece yet that I can't really talk about, but it will be a sculpture that will end up on Capitol Lake and Pier.
All right.
And then I have a military piece for Peoria, Illinois, and possibly another Medal of Honor recipient for here in South Dakota.